Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a super bank holiday weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's episode of the podcast. On Tuesday, the 26th of August, coming up, an investigation reveals the number of attacks on traffic wardens in Kent. People in a part of the north of the county fear their village could be split in two by devolution. And we hear from the cafe boss who's crowdfunding to create a new nightlife venue. But first, a man has been flown to hospital following what's been described as a serious assault on a Kent seafront. Lucy's got more details on this one for the podcast. Lucy, what do we know so far?
Well, emergency crews were called to Hampton near Herne Bay last night. Witnesses have described seeing around seven ambulances and five police cars, along with the air ambulance. One man who lives nearby has told us he saw a lot of teenagers who were very distressed and upset. He also said police had taped off an area next to the Londis shop nearby.
And have we heard from the emergency services?
We've been in touch with police and they've told us they were called to Hampton Pier Avenue just before 7pm. They say a man was treated for injuries at the scene before being taken to a London hospital for further medical attention. At the moment, nobody's been arrested and investigation is underway. Anyone who saw what happened is being urged to call 01843 222 289, quoting reference 25-13.
We'll keep you updated on that one, Lucy. Thank you ever so much. Elsewhere, police have taped off part of Gillingham High Street after being called to an emergency near King Street. Forensic investigators were spotted outside the Nissa Extra store shortly after midnight. Paramedics and firefighters were also reportedly at the scene.
Kent Online News.
Footage has been released of a traffic warden being attacked in Gravesend as staff speak out about the abuse they're facing. An investigation by Kent Online has found enforcement officers are putting up with daily threats, assaults and racism. In fact, stats reveal there have been 114 physical attacks on traffic wardens in the county over the past 5 years. Most were recorded in Medway, where 42 occurred. And you can see a breakdown of the data for where you live within the story today on the website. Well, in 2023, a warden was kicked and punched after this encounter with a driver parked in a loading bay.
If you're moving, sir, that's fine. Otherwise, I need to issue a ticket.
Exactly. I told you that I'm moving, so...
If you said it's not possible, you said, yeah, that is not my problem. You said it's not possible. I'm sitting.
I understand.
Yeah, I'm doing my job. I know, yeah. I know my job.
I'm not sitting.
Okay, so you're moving, sir?
You can argue all you want. This is going to be a lot more trouble for you.
No, that's fine.
I've got a crying baby now because of you.
That's fine, sir.
This is all going to be added to your report.
Look, sir, you're not meant to be stopped here. That's fine, sir. You want to move, sir?
Just remember who's going to have the trouble at the end of the day.
That's fine. You're moving, sir? Or are you waiting for your girlfriend?
I've already told you I'm going to move.
That's fine,
I have a crying baby at the back that you have made cry now.
You need to move, sir.
You're
not meant to be stopped in a goods loading bay.
Sorry?
You can't stop in a goods loading bay. It's a goods loading, it's lorry van. Before you said you're waiting for your girlfriend, now you said you're loading.
There's a baby in the back that I'm loading.
Okay, sir, I will issue a ticket. That's fine, sir.
The video within the story shows the full attack that happened in Gravesend, with members of the public stepping in to help after the man drove off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
Thank you, yeah.
No, seriously.
I don't know where's my phone.
Okay. Have you got your phone?
Yeah. That's man glasses. Yeah.
Have you got your phone?
No.
Can't see your phone. Okay, so can you radio in to somebody?
You
all
okay?
Right?
Yeah. Town police?
Yeah.
Town police to CA76. I asked him.
Oh, did anyone get his number?
It's
on here.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
Okay, I will be a witness for you.
Transfer to parking. Is everything okay there?
No, it's not. Do you want me to help?
Me.
Yeah. Listen, your poor guy has just been attacked. I've just found him on the road being punched by somebody who's driven off. He needs some help. Can you come, please?
Where is he, please?
Right,
we're
standing outside
Prince's
the back
Street.
Of B&M in Prince's Street, where the disabled parking is.
Stand by, I'm going to get hold of his manager first, and we also need to call the police as well.
Could you get the police here quite quickly?
A 33-year-old was jailed for 8 months following the attack.
Kent Online reports.
A prisoner who threw scalding water over other inmates at a Sheppey prison has had his sentence extended. Paul Thomas had been jailed for 19 years in 2021 and attacked two men in a laundry room at HMP Swaleside in January last year, causing second-degree burns. The 49-year-old from Sidcup claimed he did it after being bullied, but the judge said he'd acted out of revenge and jailed him for another 4 years. A drunk man who racially abused a police officer who tried to restrain him at a hospital in Ashford has been fined. A court heard Tony Giles became aggressive in the A&E department of the William Harvey in February. The 50-year-old from Arlington in the town has been ordered to pay £120. Now, people living in a village near Dartford fear it could be split in two if plans to reform local councils in Kent are given the go-ahead. Bosses in Medway have revealed how they think devolution could look in future, with a map showing Wilmington falling into two different unitary authority areas. Conservative councillor George Holt represents Wilmington, Sutton at Hone and Hawley. He's been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
It's someone drawing lines on the map very far away without any understanding of the consequence of what it means here. So they've cut Dartford in half, they've cut Wilmington into pieces as well. So obviously we're here in Wilmington Village today, and the proposed boundary will run straight through the A2 and will cut the village in half. It's completely inappropriate.
People may say, it's just a line on the map, why does it actually matter?
Yeah, because local services matter, that's why. Because we have bus services, we have educational services, we have social services, and we have bin services. It wouldn't be right for one part of Wilmington to be receiving different bin services to the other. We need a joined up strategy between one half of the village and the other. And the same goes for Dartford as well. You know, cutting Wilmington, Sutton Hone, Hawley, Darrenfe, Bean, Longfield away from the rest of Dartford means that you start to break apart that community. Local transport starts to be disconnected from the town centre. And if you think things are going to get worse, they will.
I suppose my question would be, we're going to have to draw the line somewhere. There has to be 3 to 4 unitaries to make up this new map of local government here in Kent. Where should the lines be if not here?
North Kent, Dartford, Gravesham, Medway.
Same boundaries as before?
Yeah, using the existing borough and unitary boundaries.
Why do you think that would be a better approach? Because obviously that will still leave a few areas with split services elsewhere.
Well, no, it depends how you draw the line. Basically, any proposal should try and respect the existing community and borough boundaries where they are. They're that way for a reason. The existing Dartford borough at large basically contains a community, and we should try and preserve that where we can. Trying to play divide and rule with Dartford isn't right. You know, I think we knew when Labour got in, they were declaring war on the Greenbelt, but trying to cut villages in half is a step too far.
So where do we go from here? Because here's a proposal from Medway, but it's not the only proposal. There will be other councils putting their own visions forward. Some want 3 unitaries. I know there's talk of 4 unitaries here. Where do we go from here?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's important to remember it's only a proposal, and we have to make sure we reject this proposal. Write to a Member of Parliament, write to local councillors, tell them that you do not accept this proposal. And when more proposals come out, back those, back what you feel is appropriate. I fully understand no proposal is going to get 100% support, but this way is not the one.
Now, this map is actually one of a number of proposals being considered, but local councillors are calling for a rethink before any final decision.
Kent Online reports.
A woman's been ordered to attend rehab sessions after kicking and spitting at a police officer while drunk in Chatham. Tina Phillips was arrested after officers were called to reports of disorder on the High Street in September last year. The 38-year-old from Ryde Close in the town will also have to pay around £250 in compensation, along with court costs. A man and woman have been taken to hospital following a crash in Faversham. Emergency crews, including the air ambulance, were called after 2 vehicles collided yesterday evening. It happened on the Western Link near Sainsbury's. Their injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. Meantime, a man's been taken to hospital after a car hit a telegraph pole and flipped flipped onto its side in Medway. Emergency crews were called to Rochester Road in Cuxton on Sunday night. The road had to be closed for repair work. Now, a Kent MP says he wants to challenge the perception that we live in an unsafe society, as crime rates are actually falling. Tris Osborne says it might not seem the case, as more visible offences like shoplifting and antisocial behaviour are increasing. The Labour rep for Chatham and Aylesford says it's something he's trying to fight on his social media. He's been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast, chatting to our local democracy reporter, Robert Boddy.
I notice on social media, you're quite straightforward in telling people, making clear that, you know, for example, a recent one was about the levels of crime and crime dropping. But I'm sure you know, people will respond and say, you're not living where I'm living and all this sort of thing. You're not afraid to sort of make the case about, you've used the phrase right-wing doomsters often in relation to the economy as well.
In relation to the economy, yes.
But the thing is, we see in these opinion polls that the government is viewed quite unfavourably at the moment. How do you explain this? Is it a problem with the government's messaging, or people just aren't very happy, or proposed change not being delivered?
So you are right. So on social media, specifically, like I try and use empirical evidence data to show trends and actually have a debate with people there about where we're heading as a country. I think that's quite sensible. As someone in backbench role like myself, it's really healthy to have that conversation. So when it comes to crime numbers, for instance, you're absolutely right. There's a long-term trend of crime falling. This isn't just under this government, under the last two as well. But the reality in people's lives is different, and the reason for that is because of their perception. So shoplifting might have been witnessed, but it might be one crime, but it might be witnessed by 20 people in a shop. That's still just one crime, but it has 20 witnesses. Similarly, burglary, which has gone down significantly, only impacts maybe a smaller number of people directly. So antisocial behavior is another good example of that. Graffiti, 100 people might walk past every day, but yet is only one crime. Same with fly tipping. So the government has to do more in terms of how we deal with antisocial behaviour, shoplifting, etc. And I completely acknowledge that, which is the reason why we're looking at different court processes and restorative justice approaches. But the comment that I find, I think, disingenuous is this idea that we're living in an unsafe society, that people should fear walking along their roads every single night. And I want to challenge, because, you know, I work in London and I think it's a very safe and pleasant place to socialise, to go out, to work. And I don't see the same lived experience that I have. Now, I completely accept that anecdote, other people will experience differently. So more work to do. Where I think the government is getting it wrong and right, look, we're 1 year into government. Governments are never, when they're making difficult decisions, when they're engaging in change, they absolutely, you know, and we see this in all polling. Look at the United States. Donald Trump only got in January. His polling numbers are falling as well. So that is standard in Western democracies. Tony Blair was maybe an outlier on that, but actually that's not uncommon. I think what we need to do is be delivering on these policies. We need the economy to be recovering. We need to deliver our falling waiting lists. We need to build 1.5 million new homes. We need to have an immigration system which is working and processing people fairly. And then lastly, we need good schools for young people and the cost of living crisis for people to be feeling more money in their pockets. And we're 1 year in. And I think people are frustrated that that change hasn't happened quick enough. So I'm not pessimistic. I'm permanently optimistic in many ways. And I do think that at the end of our 5 years, people will be able to make a judgment on our success. But I understand people's frustrations, especially if the pace of change isn't where their expectations are.
And you can hear that episode in full by clicking on the podcast pages of Kent Online or searching wherever you normally get your pods.
Kent Online News.
New figures show councils across Kent are now a total of £2.3 billion in debt. The amount's risen by nearly 8% in the space of a year as bosses continue to borrow money for services and infrastructure. KCC, Medway and Ashford councils have the highest levels of debt, while Tunbridge and Morling and Tunbridge Wells have none at all. Meantime, a number of schools in Medway are set to expand to meet the growing demand for places. The council are going to discuss how to allocate £25 million to increase the size of current schools and also build new ones. Proposals include New Road Primary and Greenvale Primary having their intake significantly increased. Other expansions could include Dane Court School in Gillingham, creating a secondary to support more children children with additional needs. Plans to turn a former Airbus into a unique holiday let in Kent have suffered a setback due to a planning row. A military history enthusiast has spent thousands buying the plane and converting it in the hope of welcoming guests to Capel Le Ferne. But the aircraft is now up for sale as the owner fears he won't get permission to have it on the site after losing a separate planning application. The authorities say discussions with the applicant are ongoing. And finally, the owners of a cafe and bar in Tunbridge are hoping to convert an old bank vault inside into a new nightlife space. The Market House opened in the former NatWest on the High Street last August. Mark Richards and Kat Simpson bought the site in October 2023, 7 months after the bank shut. Well, Mark's been chatting to reporter Charlotte Phillips as they launch a crowdfunding campaign.
It's clearly this unused space that is incredible. It's got incredible history, still got the original vault doors, still got two of the original bank safes inside it, and is crying out to be a space that, as the Market House, we can use so that we can remain open while we have private parties and rebuild that trust with the community. But also the community can use, A, during the day, but B, for things that Tunbridge doesn't have, which is a live music venue, you know, a regular comedy venue. We've got people who want to promote local bands. We've got bands that want to practice. We've got DJs that want to play. We've got people who've talked about using it for wellness during the day. We've, as part of our commitment to the community, we basically said at least one day a week can be used for free for groups that want to use it if they're not for profit. That's where we're at. You know, hospitality is, this is my first time in hospitality. It's a very, very tough business. You're operating in, you know, minuscule margins. And when you kind of go full throttle for cafe, fine dining, you burn through cash quite quickly when you do that. Yeah, I mean, we are like 100% convinced that being able to open the vault, having a late license, the combination of those two things will unlock our evening revenue.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham have extended their unbeaten run under manager Gareth Ainsworth to 17 games. They beat top of the table Crewe Alexandra 1-0 at Priestfield on Saturday. Sam Gale got the only goal in the last few minutes of the match and spoke to us after the final whistle.
Funny enough, I was thinking in the second half, I missed a big chance against Crewe last season at the Rainmen at home. And I was thinking that, and that game ended 0-0. And I was thinking, oh, if I get a chance, hopefully I'll put it away. And luckily that one was a bit easier than the one I had last season. But yeah, I'm buzzing. I just want to say that goal's for my family. We've had a really tough week, but my whole family were at the ground today. So yeah, that meant a lot to all of us.
Talk me through the goal itself, Sam, because I think you actually won the flick on.
Yeah.
Voted at the far post, and you just kind of did this kind of horseshoe run to get yourself back in place.
Yeah, so to be honest, I don't know where it's coming from. It's all a blur. I don't know whether it was a corner or a throw-in or a free kick, but it might have been a throw-in. But I flicked it on the initial flick, and it's gone back to Vokesy, and he's headed it back in. And the keeper's gone up, and he's kind of just palmed it onto my foot, and it's just dropped, and I've seen like the whip, basically the whole goal staring down at me from probably 12 yards out, and thinking, can't miss. And fortunately, I didn't. I'm just buzzing.
In your mind, was that the perfect way to get your first goal? You must have dreamt of it, thinking the last minute at the rain and to win the game. You probably couldn't have written a script much better than that to get your first goal.
No, you really couldn't. Listen, beggars can't be choosers. I'm a centre half, I don't score many, so I would have taken it wherever it came. But to score the winner at the rain and in such a big game, against a team that's unbeaten, not just unbeaten, they'd won every game, to keep us unbeaten, it feels amazing. And to be in front of the Rainham End, well, I can't put that feeling into words right now.
And a clean sheet as well. We must talk about the defensive aspect. Glenn's made a really good save in the first half. Smudge has been given the match. Robbie just seems to be able to play anywhere on the pitch. You scored the goal. It's a real team effort this right now.
Oh, it is. Like, it's not just us lads at the back, but Robbie, Smudge, Glenn, excellent again today. You can't fault them, but the work that the boys from the front get through. You look at Josh, runs himself into the floor, and for a player that hasn't played a lot of football the last couple of years, for him to do that's amazing. Nev does the same. We've got our wing backs working tirelessly. They don't want to be back inside their own box defending. They want to be doing the nice stuff going forward, but they're doing it for the team. And then you've got the three in midfield who are, you look at Ethan, he's playing with the biggest bandage on his head. He had one of the deepest cuts I've seen in my life last Saturday, and he's back out there Tuesday playing today again. It's such a team. We work for each other, and that's why we're so hard to break down, I think.
The Jills are now fifth in League Two and travel to take on Oldham Athletic on Saturday. On to cricket now, and Kent will be hoping to end their One Day Cup campaign on a high today. They're taking on Yorkshire in their final match of the competition this season. The Spitfires are currently third from bottom in the B team table, with play taking place at Canterbury. Elsewhere, Kent's Sam Billings has led Oval Invincibles to another win in the 100. They beat London Spirit after reaching their victory target of 153 with 22 balls to spare. It all but secures their place in the final of the competition. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.